Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church and America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I hope you have a blessed Independence Day today as we think with grateful hearts about the blood that was shed for our freedom. And of course, I mean mostly Christ's blood to free us from sin and death. And then also those soldiers who died to give us political freedom. But of course, whether we're in Britain or America or anywhere around the country, without Christ, our freedom is shallow because we are slaves to sin and looking forward to an eternity apart from God. Now, for today's broadcast, we're going back into the BEL archives to 2005 to a discussion with a caller, Lolita from Littleton, about the U.S. Constitution. This is not standard fare for a conservative Christian radio show to air, especially on July 4th, but it's awfully important and corrects much of what we'd hear on this day from conservatives and from folks like David Barton and others called experts on our founding principles. So now let's listen in to Bob Enyart Live from all those many years ago. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We've been talking about John Roberts, George W. Bush's nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I'd like to take a call or two on that topic. So let's go to Littleton, Colorado. Lolita, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hi. I have two questions. Can I ask two?
Sure.
Okay. My first question is, how do we return truth and discernment to the American church?
Right.
And my second question is, what do we do about politics in the church? Because, like, I looked last election cycle at voting for a Constitution Party, but the guy that was running president for that party didn't feel like there was anything in the Constitution to prevent gay marriage.
Well, and and we have Constitution Party state heads who think abortion is acceptable if the father's a criminal.
Right, so where do we go?
Yeah, so the Constitution...
And we have problems with discernment in our church and with truth because Christians are confused.
Well, the Constitution Party is falling apart morally before it even got started. Right? Before it even got started. And the reason is the Constitution Party, you know, I love many of the people involved are my closest allies in all kinds of spiritual and moral battles, cultural battles. But I do think they lack fundamental discernment. Because the answer is not in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. I know that we're not Israel. I know that this is not a theocracy. I know that Jesus is not going to sit and live in the White House. I know all that. But that doesn't mean that we therefore have to think that the answer lies in the Constitution. And if the Constitution doesn't outlaw gay marriage, then we're stuck. I mean, that's pretty stupid. Does the Constitution outlaw child pornography? No, I mean, you can't be more biblically ignorant than to think that our government cannot stop what the owning black people if it's not specifically prohibited in our process. There's never a justification to do wrong. It doesn't matter if you're a plumber or a president. Would you agree with that, Lolita?
I do. But so how do we return some truth and discernment? Because I actually left the church because anytime I said anything that was remotely truthful, I had trouble.
Yeah, and I could relate.
And I hate to say this is what I think it is. I think and I'm probably going to offend your age group, but I think it's baby boomers and their whole mentality, and I see this every day as a nurse, is that they don't want anything that makes them uncomfortable.
Well, that's true, but that's
and that's
but that's maybe a little bit.
We can't discuss anything that makes them uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, but to say it's baby boomers, I mean, these problems have been around for 6,000 years.
True.
So so
it's on it.
Yeah, it's more fundamental than that. And so we should talk through what is this problem and how do we solve it. So would you agree, now many Christians have been taught that the answer to our problems is the Constitution and that therefore...
Well, that is the Messiah government complex, that somehow we're going to fix everything through the government.
Well, that's a little bit the case. You know, the government should do what's right in every circumstance. And there's never a justification for a pastor, for a Christian televangelist, for a judge. There is never a justification to do wrong because it's your job or because the rules say you should do wrong. Never.
Right, I agree.
Never. So if we devise a form of government, a system of government that requires people to do wrong, then what we need to do is realize that we've devised a form of government that has errors in it. And we should identify those errors and try to fix them. But we can't do that because the body of Christ has been taught to revere the Constitution almost as though it's inspired scripture. And if you try to point out that many of the things that ail America have occurred because of the Constitution, then you are considered to be blaspheming.
Yes.
And so we, Bob and Yurt Live, so Bob and Yurt Live is one of the few Christian outlets that are urging our Christian leaders and teachers to think through this issue more carefully. Now, the Constitution itself, in Article 1, it numbered blacks as 3/5 of a person.
Right.
And it did that for reasons of appropriation and, you know, the tax grants to the states. Some of the states didn't want to count them as zero because they wouldn't get as much money, and other states were worried about representation. So they numbered them as 3/5 of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's in Article 1. You don't have to read far to get to that. That's
right.
Not the greatest way to start a government.
Nope.
And granted, slavery was in our culture, more in the South than in the North, but it was in our culture. But that doesn't justify coming up with a founding document of a new nation that is evil.
Right.
Because what?
You know,
Go ahead.
I emailed Joe Scheidler's group about the concerns about Mr. Roberts, and they just emailed me back saying that they didn't expect to overturn Roe v. Wade through the courts, but they're going to support him anyway.
Yeah, and that's I would say that statement is a statement of emotional frustration.
Hmm.
Like you don't.
So what do we do? I mean, like, you call all these people and you're telling them that this probably isn't the best way to do it, but I don't see. I mean, does anybody listen?
By the way, Joe Scheidler, for those who don't know, is a pro-life activist, a pioneer from Chicago, who's saved.
Well, it looks like his son emailed me back, Eric.
All right, and he's a really neat guy. In fact, our friend had just spent a day or two with Joe Scheidler a couple weeks ago. But anyway. Yeah,
well, how about Dobson? Did he respond to your letter?
Well, in that, they agreed to have the elders of Denver Bible Church go down and focus on the family and give a presentation. And we gave the same presentation that I gave to the OSA crowd at Redeemer Community mm-hmm. Church a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to make that available on DVD at cost.
Okay.
We're going to sell them for $10 for $20.
Okay.
And but Lolita, do you have time to talk through this a bit more? Because it's
I got a few more minutes.
Oh, that's all. All right. Well,
I met you at the OSA rally.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, my husband has that newspaper.
Oh yeah.
And I left a message at your church because I found out from I'm getting a nurse practitioner degree, and I found out from my preceptor, the midwife I was with, that this girl that I had talked her out of getting rid of her baby, so she's going to keep it.
Oh wow.
And I'm so excited.
Praise the Lord. We'd like to announce.
I've never done that before. So.
That is so exciting. We'd like to announce all the saves at church on Sundays at Denver Bible Church. Okay.
So, anyway.
So Lolita, the Constitution, you know, it starts out numbering blacks as 3/5 of a person.
Right.
Bad start. It goes on to say that spending bills have to originate in the House. And the reasoning behind that, if you read the Federalist Papers, the reasoning is because the House is, they're the representatives of the people. And because they'd be close to the people as their representatives, there's no way they would spend more than they take in.
Uh-huh.
Now, history shows us that that reasoning was inane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the House of Representatives.
It continues to be inane.
Yeah, the House of Representatives is one of the most fiscally irresponsible bodies in the history of the world.
Right. Just like Bill Owens telling us that if they get to keep our tax dollars, that they'll be at zero.
Yeah.
And they won't overspend.
Yeah.
If we just let them do it just this one time.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, and money is like giving more money to the government is like giving more heroin to an addict.
Yeah.
And that's why you should never buy savings bonds or government bonds or T-bills.
Right.
Because you're just helping to destroy your government.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the Constitution, the humanist ideas that went into the Constitution were broken. They were broken. At
mm-hmm.
the time, the political correctness of the day was democracy. That was the political correctness of the day. And
mm-hmm.
if you read the Federalist Papers, they spoke of democracy as a good thing, a positive thing. But they didn't make the federal government entirely democratic. They made it. Do you know what percentage of the federal government they made to be democratic?
I have no idea.
Well, the federal government has three branches. And most of it was non-democratic. One half of the legislative branch was democratic.
Mm-hmm.
In that the people would vote for the representatives. That's why they called it the House of Representatives. But the people did not vote for the senators. And the people did not vote for the executive, the president. And the people
right.
did not vote for the Supreme Court.
In right, because weren't they chosen by people that were,
right.
the senators were elected or something?
Well, the elected representatives in the House of Representatives, they had no role whatsoever in bringing about the Supreme Court. Supreme Court nominees, they were nominated by the unelected president, and
uh-huh.
they would be confirmed by the unelected Senate. So 5/6 of the federal government by our founders was to be non-democratic. Now, our Christian leaders who have promoted the Constitution as the solution to
mm-hmm.
our nation's problems, they don't understand this stuff.
Right.
I mean, I'm more of a biblicist than I am a constitutionalist. But we can't just give the answer because Christians have been conditioned, and it's almost like that we have to be unconditioned first. So
mm-hmm.
we have to, before you could share the good news and for people to ask God to forgive them, they have to
right.
know that they're sinners first.
That's true.
And if they don't know they're sinners, they'll mock at the offer of forgiveness.
Well, yeah, and that's why I think it seems difficult in America.
So it's the same thing.
You don't need anything, right?
It's the same thing with our government. The problems is that since our Christian leaders in the body of Christ thinks that the salvation of America politically lies in the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
before we could say what the answer is, we have to disabuse them of that notion. So I have to go through this litany of helping Christians understand that the Constitution is a major part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
And it's not if we get men who are fully dedicated to the Constitution, that will only further the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Constitution Party, even though it's founded by conservative Christians, began to morally disintegrate before it even got started.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're dedicated to a work of man that is filled
right.
with errors and
yeah.
filled with wickedness also.
Well, I sure would like to get together and talk to you sometime.
Oh, that's what we're doing right
more
now.
Sense
but
than
you know
more
what?
People.
Lolita, it sounds like you have to go, so I'm going
to
let you
I
go.
I have to go to a doctor
okay.
appointment.
All right, well, thanks for calling in. God bless you.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Appreciate
Bye.
That. And what I'm going to do is continue to talk this through. I'm going to continue to talk this through and explain it because now I have a little bit of time to do that. Okay, the Constitution comes about in Philadelphia by couple dozen men, some are Christians, some couldn't care less about God, and they compromise, and they compromise, and they compromise, and they compromise for many weeks in a hot, humid Philadelphia summer. Now, I've got a Philly man right here in the other room, standing next to Porter here at KLTT, and there we go. And he's a good Jewish guy from Philadelphia. Al Sharon
And Mr. Sharon, would you say Philadelphia has hot, humid summers? He said, yeah, two thumbs up. And I would add miserable. And so here are these guys, and they're compromising and compromising and compromising. And now Christians, 200 years later, Christians are convinced that the only answer for what ails America socially, morally, in our culture wars, and our government is the Constitution. That's false. That's one of the things that led America to destroy itself faster than most any empire in history. It's led to our decline. We were strong and growing stronger before the Constitution. And this commitment to the Constitution as the chief aim of Americans is what's helping to now destroy the morality of the body of Christ. So the Constitution starts out, you number blacks as three-fifths of a person. Great. Spending bills begin in the House of Representatives. Why? Because, well, your representatives will not spend more than you could afford to pay in taxes. And they'll be responsible. They will not spend more than they take in. And that's demonstrably absurd. And you would only believe that if you believe the liberal lie that men are basically good. If you believe that men are basically good, you would write the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, by the way. Because so many of our founding fathers were seduced by the liberal political correctness of their day. And they flirted with democracy in a very positive way. And they put it in a box. They said, you know, we'll make it 1/6 of the federal government, so we'll give in to the humanist of our day and political correctness, and we'll agree with this liberal notion of democracy where people are basically good, so they should rule themselves, but we'll only put it in a box in the House of Representatives, and it'll be safe there. But you can't take fire into your bosom and not be burned. You don't dance with a bear and not get hurt. So what happened? Democracy began to do its evil work, and it broke through the bonds that the Constitution put around it. And while it started in the House of Representatives, then it took over the Senate. So that we voted in violation. The Constitution itself says that you shall not change the place of the choosing of the senators, which was in the unelected House of the state legislatures. But anyway, we passed an amendment. We changed the place of the choosing of the senators, and we made it so it's democracy. So democracy. So people get to vote for the representative and their senator. And now you didn't vote for the president. That was to be decided by the electors, the electoral college that was made up of men chosen by the state legislatures and sent to agree on who would be the president. And since liberalism and the belief that men are basically good was unleashed through our U.S. Constitution and the House of Representatives, and then we started electing the Senate, and of course we had to elect also the president, and this didn't happen all in exact chronological order like I'm giving it. For example, in Virginia, they made the vote for the president, for the electors, Democratic in the very first election in Virginia. Because they were especially messed up. That's why they did that. And so then what we had was the people choosing their representatives and choosing their senators and choosing their presidents. And now the will of the people brings about the president. So it's the majority of the people who get to nominate a Supreme Court justice. And then it's the democratically elected Senate that gets to confirm him. So the government is closer to 100% democratic. Although the move by many Christians around the country that we should vote for judges, and that's happening in state after state and affirmed by our Christian leaders as a good thing, it's an evil thing. But eventually maybe we'll vote for Supreme Court justices also because our Christian leaders are so ignorant of basic biblical principles that men are evil. And so because men are evil, you might get a rare one here and there who will be righteous. But the more you get as a group, the more certain you are that the group is evil. So that the larger the committee gets, the more wicked will be its output. That's the way it is. That's why casinos never lose. because you go with the odds. And if you get a million bets to take place on the floor in a month, well, you're going to win a lot of money if you're the house because you go with the odds. And Jesus said the majority are evil or going to hell, and the minority are righteous and love God. So when you get democracy rules, the majority rules, you're certain that your nation will gradually deteriorate into moral depravity. And God's law, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, will be repealed by the will of the majority. Why? Because they want to steal from their neighbor to buy themselves benefits. And they want to commit adultery with their neighbor's wife. And they want to kill their unborn children and their grandchildren because of their inconvenience. And so that's what happens with democracy. And now I'm talking all through this, and we have a solution. In fact, we've promoted it for years on and off through Bob and Yurt Live, and we're thinking about putting it back up on the web. It's a constitution that we've created. It's the Constitution of America, and it's very powerful. But I'm not going to tell you about that today because we need pre-evangelism. We first need to know we're sinners before we're willing to ask for forgiveness. And before we're willing to look at an actual answer, we have to know what the problem is. And so we have Christians today who are utterly committed to being faithful to the Constitution. We have replaced faithfulness to God with faithfulness to the Constitution. That's what we've done. And so we want judges. We don't care if they're faithful to God. We don't care if they believe homosexuality is perversion. We don't care if they think abortion is murder. As long as they'll uphold the Constitution, that's what we want, says Carrie Gordon Earle, spokeswoman for Focus on the Family. We care less about what he thinks about the slaughter of children than we do about process, says Carrie Gordon Earle of Focus on the Family. And I don't despise them. I love them. I love James Dobson. But we need to rebuke ourselves as Christian leaders because we've lost our way. And we've gone astray. And now you have thousands of Christian pastors who really maybe are true Christians who are saying, you know, homosexuality, it's not so bad anymore because Focus on the Family says it should be legal. And so does the AFA and so does Chuck Colson and so does everybody else. It should be legal. In fact, adultery should be legal and pornography should be legal. We just have to regulate it. So you have Christian pastors like the one I debated on the show. You can find it on kgov.com. Who said that, hey, Bob, if two men are faithful to one another, then it's legal. And if they're faithful, we've replaced faithfulness to God with faithfulness to a homosexual. Thousands of pastors are starting to cave in. And our Christian leaders are saying what we need to save America from moral decay is we need faithfulness to the Constitution. So that the Constitution has replaced God as the answer to what ails us. And I know we're not a theocracy, and I know we're not Israel, and I know Christ is not sitting in the Oval Office. If he was that close to Washington, I think his glory would utterly destroy the Capitol, and the Senate and the House would be sucked down alive into hell. So Jesus is not in the White House. I know that. And I'm not calling for a theocracy. But we Christians have been thinking in the box of the Constitution for so long, we're not smart enough to even set out a strategy that could theoretically achieve victory. We have become the enemy. So we say the most important thing is to be faithful to the Constitution. Anything that's constitutional, that's what the judges have to do. If it's unconstitutional, that's what we have to fight against. And so Dred Scott in the 1860s. Right, Dred Scott, that you could own a black man, that was constitutional. That was constitutional. Now, let me tell you something that might shock you. The Constitution is unconstitutional. The Constitution is unconstitutional. How could that be? How could the Constitution be unconstitutional? Well, I'm not even going to mention the contradictions within itself. But the Constitution is unconstitutional because what would Christian leaders do if a bunch of liberals got together and said, you know what, we're going to make a new Constitution. We're just going to make a new one and we'll use that one. And they just made a new one. What would they do? our Christian leaders would take a fit because the Constitution says this is the amendment process. You need two-thirds of this, you got to do this, and then you could change the Constitution. If liberals got together in Philadelphia, they just came up with a new Constitution, we'd all take a fit, right? Well, I wouldn't. I'd know whatever they did was wrong, but I wouldn't take a fit saying you're violating the Constitution because the Constitution violated the Constitution. How did we get our Constitution? Did we have nothing before the Constitution? We had a Constitution before this current Constitution, and we utterly violated that by just ignoring it and replacing it with a new one. What was the name of the Constitution we had first? Because when did we become a nation? Do our Christian leaders know? When did we become a nation? 1776. We signed our Declaration of Independence, and we did so rightly because we were rightly a sovereign nation that should exert its independence from its father, mother across the sea that could not bear to see us become independent. And so we did right in 1776. And it wasn't until when? 1789? I'm not a historian. I don't know. Till 1789 that we ratified the Constitution. So we had some law in the intervening time. And what we had, although the vast majority of Christians who advocate the Constitution is the answer, they don't know what we had. But what we had was the Articles of Confederation. And those Articles of Confederation are perpetual. That's what they say. They're perpetual, and they can only be changed in convention with a percent of the vote. In fact, I think it had to be unanimous by all the states to repeal or to change, to modify any aspects of the Articles of Confederation. And that was never done. It was just ignored. It was ignored. And so we've replaced one snapshot of human compromise in history, human legal compromise, with another snapshot of human legal history, of human legal compromise in history. We've replaced the Articles of Confederation with the Constitution, which was inherently compromising and immoral. And we have made that into the salvation for what ails America. And I know our Christian leaders don't say you'll get saved by the Constitution, but the nation will be saved if only we make our commitment to the Constitution. When did that ever start? Where do we get that idea from? You know why it is? We are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are ashamed to say when an ACLU lawyer says, hey, we need the Quran wherever we have the Bible in a courtroom, our Christian leaders are ashamed to say we should not have the Quran because Allah is a false god and Islam is a false religion. That's why we shouldn't have a Quran. Oh, but then we try to justify that through process or tradition or definitions of words. And we've lost our moral way. So we have Christian conservative leaders who say, you know, I can't find in the Constitution where homosexuality is prohibited. So I guess I got to join ACT UP. So we're in big trouble. And here I am with a small voice on the largest Christian radio station in America, but comparatively, it's a small voice. And so we need your help. If you can help, go to kgov.com, call us at 800-8-NYART. You can offer your support. You could get our materials. And what is the answer? I'm not going to give the answer. Nobody's ready for the answer. You're not ready until you know you're an alcoholic. You're not ready to be cured. So let me say it clearly. All the Christians listening right now, you are an alcoholic. You are a political alcoholic. You're a political alcoholic. When you go home tonight, say to your wife, say, hi, I'm James. I'm an alcoholic. And then maybe next week or soon, we can talk about what the answer is to the governmental problems that ail America. I'm out of time.